No one is coming to save us. So writes author Roxane Gay in an op-ed piece for the New York Times published last weekend. This wasn't a theological treatise, of course. It was a lament about the lethality of American racism. After reviewing a variety of would-be saviors, government, big business, even well-intended community-led initiatives, she concludes that it is futile to hope for a cure to the sin of white supremacy. That's a hard thing to hear on Trinity Sunday, when we would prefer to focus on God's triumph over sin despite us. But I can't guarantee that she's wrong, at least not on this side of eternity. Given our country's track record, history seems to be on the other side. Besides, I'm not about to try to argue her or any other person of color out of their experience. My perspective on this issue as a white woman of privilege is inherently skewed and most likely self-servingly optimistic. But she does raise the specters of hope and salvation, and those are matters, at least on which I've been given at least some authority to speak. I've been thinking a lot about authority lately. Who has it, how they got it, what they do with it. Jesus makes quite a claim on that front in today's gospel. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." It's a bold statement. But to be honest, I find the prospect of Jesus being in charge quite comforting. I am all too happy these days to let him take the wheel. If only he would. But if he didn't do that with his earliest followers, there is no reason to think that he's going to let me or you off the hook either. Up until now, he's been the leader. The disciples have been the followers. He's been the teacher. They've been the students. And now, at the end of Matthew's gospel, he tells them, "It's your turn. It's your turn now to go, to teach, to baptize, to make new disciples. You are the leaders now." In effect, he hands them the car keys and tells them to drive. And with one final word of reassurance, "Remember, I am with you always," he's off. Where did Jesus learn to share power and authority like that? As far as I can tell, he learned it from the one he called Father. We see how God shares power and authority in today's psalm. The one who set the moon and the stars in their courses did not hoard that beauty or make it the property of any one culture or language or nation. God did not set a price on the night sky. No, our Creator made it available to all of us. And foolishly or wisely, God put us in charge of taking care of it. And God didn't hoard the powers of creation either. God gave us the ability to create as well. In our schools and workplaces, in our homes, and yes, out on the streets, we reflect our Creator when we choose to take what God has given us and make something new. In other words, by sharing the power of creation with us, God has given us the authority, in Paul's words from Philippians, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God. It is God who is at work in us, enabling us both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. So perhaps Roxane Gay is right, even theologically in her op-ed, at least in part. Perhaps no one is coming to save us because the one who is saving us is already here, handing us the car keys and telling us that it's our turn to drive. Scary thought, I realize. Given the events of the last several weeks and the centuries of racism undergirding them, given the cruelty and brutality and fear on public display, we might not seem to be God's wisest investment. So how do we exercise our God-given authority then? How do we honor the inexplicable trust extended to us? Perhaps it begins by recognizing the power we have how society has given more to some of us and systematically denied it to others. When confronted with the illegitimacy of white privilege, the first temptation is often to denial or displaced anger. White folks like me don't want to admit how the freedom granted to us has been defended and enforced by violence, or how our silence and complicity have contributed to the problem. Denying our power or being paralyzed by the complexity of dismantling it is of no help to those who need more. And for those who've been given less societal power, perhaps the first step is fully embracing the fact that God never wanted it this way. God did not set up the power imbalances we live with every day. Claiming a place to stand and speak isn't just a civil rights issue. It's a theological issue. You are claiming your God-given power and authority by insisting on more. So then, what might sharing power look like? For those of us with societal power, it often starts with listening, really listening, and resisting that temptation to instantly fix or defend ourselves or pretend to an expertise we just don't have. That's hard to do in this city, I know. It also means consciously expanding the number of voices we hear, going out of our way to listen and learn from folks with vastly different experiences and living with the discomfort that that can create. And yes, it does mean joining our voices with those demanding justice in whatever ways make the most sense for us given our age and health and resources. It might mean protesting peacefully in ways that protect the health and safety of others. It might mean donating. It might mean the less romantic but equally important work of crafting policy. And almost certainly, it will mean risking hard conversations with people we love who see the world in a vastly different way. At least it will for me. And that requires a whole different kind of courage. But there's more to it than that. We cannot fix systemic power imbalances on our own, but neither can we depend on Jesus taking the wheel and doing it for us. The righteousness of our cause is in itself not enough to create lasting change. It requires people who have never thought of working together to learn how to do so, to listen to each other, to learn how to talk in ways that can be heard on all sides, to create space and release resources for a future that none of us can see yet. It's not just about dismantling bad structures, as important as that work is. It's also about creating new ones. It sounds like a lot of work. It is. But the good news is that we are not left to it alone. Our hope as Christians is not in our good intentions or our clever ideas or our well-intended benevolence. It is in the nature of the power that God shares with us. Any triumph over sin, particularly the sin of white supremacy, will not come on our steam or efforts alone. We are utterly dependent on the power flowing through us, a divine power of love and justice and creativity that is greater and stronger and more enduring than we are. We're so used to power as domination, as power over, where in order for us to win, somebody else has to lose. But that is not God's power. God's power is multiplied. It's made effective in this world as it is shared. And ultimately, so is ours. May we have the courage today to own the authority that we have been given and honor that same authority and everybody else. In the name of the one who loves us too much to let us off the hook. Amen.